43. Isaac. How am I doing? Isaac asked, his hands resting on the Parabellum flight controls.
We haven't crashed yet,
Pyro replied with a smile. You're doing great, Sergeant. Isaac's eyes tracked the displays surrounding him. As a bystander on the dropship's bridge, the different monitors left the outside world somewhat disconnected and hard to track. From the pilot station, the positioning fused them, creating a nearly complete view of the outside of the craft. As Pyro had explained, the brain realized the seams weren't important after a while and began canceling them out, leaving only the unified display. A twinge in Isaac's leg caused him to wince. Dr. Hess had done an incredible job of putting the limb back together after it had been crushed. The metal framework he had installed allowing Isaac limited mobility without confinement to a wheelchair. But the damage was done, the injury removing him from the fight on the ground. Not satisfied to remain an observer while a rogue Axon worked to subdue the planet, he had gone to General Stacker and argued for a continuing role. It had taken some negotiating, but Nathan had come to see the value in training Isaac to fly the dropship. While Rico, Bennett, and Nathan himself were all capable pilots in addition to Pyro, they were also valuable foot soldiers. Clones were stronger and faster than regular humans, and Stacker had the powered armor that made him a behemoth in the field. While Pyro would do most of the flying, there were occasions where her prowess as an engineer made her more valuable in that role. And if that situation arose again, they needed someone else to handle the ship. Isaac had never flown before. He had done amateur drone racing as a teenager and had won a few races, but that was the closest he had ever come. The controls for the Parabellum were relatively simple. A touch-sensitive control panel with braille-like bumps to allow the ship to be flown by feel. There were only three main controls, a single slider for throttle and two balls, one for vector control and the other for the plasma cannons. Each ball was a three-dimensional sphere under the flat surface that, through simple touch, could be manipulated as if they were physically present. At first, Isaac had argued the design was inferior to the stick and pedal approach of the Air Force fighter jets. Then he had watched how Pyro deftly maneuvered the craft as she strafed the Goliath, using two fingers and her thumb on the vectoring ball and her pinky on the throttle slider on one side and a matching setup on the other side for turret control and the firing button. And then she explained that she had learned to fly the craft less than a year earlier. He was sold. Especially now. He had taken over for her as the convoy left Sanisco, heading south along the highway toward Sanosa. Strangely enough, the Jaxcluth didn't seem to have passed through the sister city. There was no sign of destruction, no trails of dark slime, but there were also no people. Sanosa was much smaller than Sanisco with regard to population. It was possible they had heard the fighting in the distance and decided to hide. In any case, the front lines of the caravan were nearing the city's population center. If scouts were watching the approach, the residents would make their presence known soon enough. Isaac turned the ball, sending the dropship in a tight circle that nearly pulled Pyro off her feet.
Easy there, cowboy, Pyro said.
Sorry.
The passenger should still be buckled in. Let's hope so, anyway.
Isaac looked out at Sanisco in the distance. The Goliaths remained visible on the horizon, pushing through the water and heading east across the bay. There were no more Jaxcluth in the immediate area, but he had seen the sensor readings from the Capricorn on their way in from space. He knew how many of the Relia creatures still spotted the landscape, not only nearby, but around the entire globe. He could guess how many people were still out there dying, and it made him sick to his stomach.
Try another turn, Pyro said. A little gentler this time.
Yes, ma'am, Isaac replied.
I'm going to blame it on the QDM. The QDM isn't connected to the reactor anymore. We're at full power.
See?
It was missing the QDM, Isaac joked, trying to get his mind away from his darker thoughts.
If you say so, Sarge.
Isaac took the dropship at a couple of kilometers before banking around again, following Pyro's advice to do it more gently. He leveled out, heading east across the city and convoy below.
Parabellum, do you copy?
Nathan's voice boomed through the bridge's loudspeakers.
We copy, General, Isaac replied.
He scanned the displays for the Centurions. They had left Sanisco behind the main convoy, remaining back to harass the Jaxcluth so the citizens could get out. He found them a kilometer behind the main group.
Nathan was on the back of a modified pickup truck with Rico and Bennett, while Drake, Lucius, Jesse, and Spot had doubled up on a pair of motorcycles riding in formation behind him.
"I was just talking with Sheriff Duke. We might have a lead on the Axon thief. Bring the Parabellum in at my mark."
Isaac glanced at the situational display beneath the primary displays. It showed a three-dimensional outline of the area around the ship as captured and interpolated by the cameras and onboard computer. A red dot appeared where Nathan wanted them to land, an area that had once been a parking lot behind a mall.
"Roger, General," Isaac said. "We're on our way."
"That's a wide-open LZ," Pyro said. "You should take her in."
"We can't afford to crash the dropship."
Pyro smiled. "You'll be fine. Nice and easy." Isaac felt a twinge of nerves at the idea of landing the ship. It was easy to fly because there was nothing to crash into in the sky. He swallowed his nerves, easing back on the throttle and dipping the nose to begin his descent.
"Remember, the dropship is VTOL," Pyro said. "Just get over the mark and adjust the VTs.
Isaac wasn't completely accustomed to the acronyms, so he ran through them in his mind. LZ was landing zone, VTOL was vertical takeoff and landing, VT was vectoring thrusters.
"Got it."
He came in slowly, maybe too slowly. The tank and APC veered away from the convoy and headed for the parking lot, while the Centurions broke from the rear of the caravan and accelerated to meet them. Isaac noticed movement from the city now, too. There were survivors still in the area, and they began to emerge when they recognized the vehicles. He had a feeling the convoy was about to get bigger. He maneuvered the dropship over Nathan's mark, adjusting the controls to put the Parabellum into VTOL mode. He started cutting the thrust, each adjustment causing the craft to sink a little faster. Too fast. The ship began to drop, making his stomach lurch. He overcompensated, causing it to bounce roughly. He stabilized the ship and tried again, managing to lower them more smoothly. The landers extended automatically as they neared the ground, and they only shuddered lightly as Isaac touched the dropship down. Pyro squeezed his shoulder.
"Nice work, Sergeant."
He leaned back in the seat, only now realizing he had forgotten to breathe. He exhaled, unbuckling himself from the seat.
"It was a little bumpy. It always is the first time. It gets easier."
Isaac stood up, careful to position his leg out straight. It twinged whenever he moved it, but it couldn't be helped.
"Why do you think the General wanted us to land?"
"Your guess is as good as mine, but knowing Sheriff Duke, it probably means we'll be back on the hunt before the hour is up."
"Then you'll really get a flying lesson,"